Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, we're recording.
Recording, everybody. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Welcome to Two Black Girls, One Rose.
We're together. We'll uncover what we can learn about modern dating, love, and relationships from popular television. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And I liked this little mother's themed show.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it when they can carry a theme through the whole episode. It's nice.
Mm-hmm. It was cute. Karen and her daughter, and then Grace. And we went to lunch, a little Parisian brunch. It was nice. But yeah, Robin and Candace, they finally sat down. We finally got that this episode as well. But yeah, friend, what are your initial thoughts?
Yeah.
I'm excited to talk about this episode.
You know, Candace has been making the round. She's on tour with Tamar Braxton, looking fantastic. And she said the other day, and promoting the show, and she said the other day that she's getting pushed out. She feels like she's getting pushed out of the cast. And I was like, why does she feel that way? And then I watched the last episode. I was like, yep, this is why she feels that way. I think that in total, as a Real Housewife community, we are going to turn our back so harshly on Robin and Giselle if Candace leaves this show because she's not friends with either of them.
Like Candace leaving on her own accord.
Yeah, I will hate that.
I would really
because it's tough with the two of them. They're very hard to reason with. Not that Candace is exactly, you know,
not that she's in the right at all.
But it's really hard to deal with somebody as delusional as Robin all the time. And then somebody who you really feel like they wronged you and came after your livelihood, like Giselle. And if they get to stay on TV and Candace doesn't, I'm going to be really upset. And I think a lot of people are going to like turn their back on Potomac in general because Candace was one of the people who ushered in the dark skinned women in the show.
Damn. But for real though.
She is. So she's sad. She might be the first. It was Monique and then her. Yeah. It was Monique. Monique first.
Monique and then her. Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, right? It's just terrible. Good. So I just don't like seeing even an inkling of her getting pushed out by these two green-eyed goblins. And this season, though, I will say, is giving a lot of clarity to the ladies' backstories. There's a lot of clarity behind Ashley that we got. There's a lot of clarity behind Wendy that we've received. And now Mia. We're getting a lot behind Mia, even Charisse. Champagne Charisse.
Yep. True.
So I am really enjoying that part of the season. I did not exactly have a lessons learned, but I think there was just a sentiment of this overall of this episode that basically stated that women, like really dynamic, independent thinking, hardworking women, sometimes have really complicated relationships with their moms. And just observing those relationships from youth to middle age to older, like we did with Karen and Raven and Giselle and Grace, and then even with Mia and her mom, that these things are just really complicated and hard to judge. And it's different for everyone. And I think that's a really beautiful lesson from this episode. So not really something that we're going to like talk about, but I just thought it was an overarching theme.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, yeah, we've seen even, I mean, you mentioned Mia and her mom, Ashley and her mom, Karen lost her mom. Like, we've seen so many dynamics of mother-daughter in the show. And no matter what you think about any of these women, you know, Mia's not my favorite person. You know, but even I can have a lot of empathy for her because of, you know, what's going on with her and her mother and their strained relationship. And like, I don't know, I feel for her showing up to the Mother's Day brunch, kind of walking in by herself. Like, that's sad. No matter what you feel. So I do like that the show, at least in this episode, but in general, showcases the different varying relationships of mothers and how, yeah, impactful it is to a person and their character and their character, quote unquote, on the show. And give a lot of insight to them as women as well. So, nice. Well, let's see. Juan showed up. He's showing up now.
Juan showed up again.
Showed up again. He's showing up more on camera. This is sus.
We've never seen him. Yeah. This is so suspect.
This is high key sus.
And he's not had a job for season after season. So it's not because he don't have no job either.
No, right. But I think it's right. I think you're right. What you said last episode, I think it was, how somebody got in his ear and was like, you need to go support your wife. You need to go collect that check because it's the only check that's coming in. Like, I feel like something like clicked. This is our one livelihood. So this, I don't care. That's okay. Only going to take them so far.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I think that, but it's also exactly like she doesn't care. And she also doesn't have no storyline, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have to step up and like help show her these out cameras a something. Little bit.
Yeah.
Because you dogged her out so bad outside of the show on the blogs. Mm-hmm. Like, you owe her a storyline at the very least.
At least a scene or two with the kids. Damn. Like, ridiculous. Yeah, very noticeable, for sure. I feel like Mia and Jacqueline, this frenemy ship, needs to be explored further. I would love to see Jacqueline back.
Me too.
And it seems like she's in the mix. We saw Charisse said she saw her at an event or whatever. She's in the mix, but for whatever reason, she's not coming on camera or Mia doesn't want her there. I'm not sure, but it's like a very interesting storyline that's happening that we're not seeing. And I wish we could see a little bit more of what's happening with Mia and Jacqueline currently. And then, yeah, my last thought was on Robin and Candace. Robin, as y'all know, I'm not Team Robin at all, but I feel her on this this rift with Candace. Like, once you find yourself on Watch What Happens Live, like, talking shit on me, like, you can't expect us to be friends anymore. Again, not my favorite person, but she's kind of sitting there like, Candace, what do you expect?
Yeah.
It wasn't just Twitter. It was Watch What Happens Live. It was multiple for. It was print media. She's talking to the blogs. Like, it's a lot. What do you expect for me to do?
But, okay, if Candace came to you, if you were cosplaying as Robin, and said, this is a work issue. Like, I feel like you dragged down the integrity of the show and the cast. I feel like it is a detriment all the way around. You feel like that would have been easy, lessened the blow a little bit?
Yes, I think if she did come with that mindset, or if she came with that language, like, I'm cheating you, you're my friend, but also coworkers, and I have integrity when it comes to the show, and I feel like you didn't, and I was in my feelings, and Yeah, I think if she approached her from that perspective, I might, as Robin, cosplaying as Robin, I might hear her out and feel a little bit differently. But Candace didn't come with that.
She didn't come from that. She didn't. She came with that hat and that veil and those pants and those braids. I know.
So all I'm seeing is my friend who went out and talked shit on me in multiple mediums. So what we're supposed to do with those. Yeah. And then for my lessons learned going along with Robin and Candace and their whole drama. Can you fix a friendship without mutual apologies? Is my question. I think Robin and Candace, both of them came in expecting apologies or
groveling from the other.
Nobody was trying to be the bigger person. Nobody was trying, like, can you actually fix a friendship without, you know, somebody mutually being the bigger person or stepping up and admitting you're wrong? Like, can you actually get somewhere?
I have a question or a note or a question. Yes. Do you think that also relates to Jacqueline and Mia?
I agree.
Because Jacqueline's apologized to Mia quite a bit and has been really like filled with regret, I think, but she doesn't know what Mia is mad at her for. Really.
And I think Mia, as she said last episode, like, she's been so mean to Jacqueline. And Jacqueline probably doesn't have a clue as to like where it's really stemming from. She might have an inkling, but she's probably really hurt and sad by the whole situation too, that she feels a lot of shame of even bringing it up. I think Mia could also, you know, owe her an apology. They could get somewhere, but I don't know.
We'll
explore that by the end of the episode. Okay, before we dive into the recap, Justine, what do you have for the pre-show?
So today we will be discussing J-Lo's trailer of her life story movie reboot docu series
sequel. Sequel musical
comedy
drama,
musical
sci-fi. Oh my god. Yes.
All of the above.
We have to talk about this trailer that is making the rounds. It's called This Is Me Now. It's called This Is Me .. / A Love Story by Jennifer.
So many grammatical insinuations in there. Just in time for the Oscars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God. To listen to our juicy pre-show and our deep dive into this bananas trailer, gotta join us over on the Rose Garden, guys. Join us on Patreon. Head to patreon.com/2BlackGirls1Rose to listen to this exact episode with our juicy pre-show. You can also listen to our episodes ad-free. You can watch us on video. You can watch us on 2 Black Girls Watch. Our weekly reaction episode. Right now we're rewatching season one of Insecure. The Rose Garden Patreon, it's where it's at. Try out a Patreon membership with a 7-day free trial. Shout out to the Rose Garden. Shall we dive into this recap?
Yes, let's do it.
Let's do it. So we open up Karen and Raven, her daughters in town. They're going to get matching tattoos.
Cute. This is
love
crazy.
This is crazy. I want to do this low key with my mom.
I was going to say, would you do this with your mom? I feel like your mom just loves you just enough to get a tattoo with you.
Right. I feel like I can work on her.
I think so too.
Years ago, my mom used to say she wanted a tattoo. She wanted to get a rose or something like that. Something real corny and like, we cannot have
it. We don't want that. No.
No. But that was like forever ago. I was like a kid when she was saying that. So I'm back in my like tattoo flow. I'm going to see if I can. I think she's watching Potomac. So maybe I'll call her up. And what'd you think of the episode with Karen?
Yeah.
But yeah, this was cute. Karen and her daughter going to get matching tattoos. Karen's body, yada, yada, yo. I said, okay, Karen.
That?
She looked great.
Ozempic. Yes.
Yeah, I know. That Ozempic, that waist trainer, whatever she got on, she looks super snatched. And she looks nice. So they're both getting a lowercase g for their for Karen's mom. Mm-hmm. And we get a little update with Raven as well. She's in New York City. She's working in fashion PR. Mm-hmm. She's, you know, a little fashion girly on TikTok and all that jazz. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, Karen tells Raven that she's arranged a breakfast for them, Giselle and Grace, to go out. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I know you and, you know, Giselle used to have bad blood or something. What was the beef? What was the drama
between with Raven and Giselle?
Yeah. Or was she just on her mom's side because Karen?
Yeah, I think she's just on her mom's side. Yeah, I think so. Okay.
Yeah. Something happened, though. So yeah, she gets her tattoo, the tiniest little lowercase g.
I mean, like, almost like, oh, there's something on your ankle. Like, we're almost to that level, right?
Almost
like,
to that level.
Yeah.
Could have been a little bigger. Shit. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so that was cute. Then we have Candace and her mom, Dorothy, meet mm-hmm. up with the CCO, creative officer, whatever, of Parfum de Bon. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, and Candace loved this little beret, this little herringbone beret.
Loved it.
Mm-hmm. I want to get a little beret. It was very
cute. You should.
That look cute, right? My little head. My little bald head.
Yes.
Just this. I have not been wearing hats. Also right. because it's winter, so
yeah,
it's like
winter.
Beanie season, yeah. basically. Mm-hmm. And I said I was gonna get a neon beanie. I just never did. I just
Oh man! Well, we still got time, girl. It is a high of 31 today.
I know. So. Holy shit, I can still get it. But this little beret, I was like, oh, that could be cute. Little beret,
that could
little
be
herringbone
real
beret.
Cute. Oh man, I see what you would. Yeah, your big gray coat and your big gray scarf. I see it
yes,
for you.
Right?
Yeah.
Let me write this down. Actually,
yes.
I didn't write down the neon beret. The neon, which calls, and I get it. My herringbone beret, yes. But yeah, Candace looked cute as always. And mm-hmm. yeah, they're talking with this woman about Candace's Mother's Day brunch slash, like, I think it's sponsored by Parfum de Marly. Is that what it was?
It seems like it. Yeah, they've all been in the perfume game for a while. I remember when they went to France and they were sniffing lavender.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I was like, is Candace launching a perfume? I was like, did I miss something? But I think they
almost all of them have tried to launch some sort of like fragrance or body care. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So yeah, Candace, she's talking about the guest list for this upcoming brunch. She said, as raggedy as Ashley is, she is still inviting her and her mama to the brunch.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. As Ashley raggedy. Loves them children, she loves them kids. She had them with a raggedy man, but she does love them children.
She's a nice mom. Yeah, she is a good mom.
Yep.
So.
Mm-hmm. And so is Miss Sheila, even though she is.
Yeah.
We know all her business now, and her wig looks nuts. She's a very nice. We saw it when Ashley went to go meet her dad.
Mm-hmm. She's a very nice woman. Yeah. Good mm-hmm. mom. Been holding it down for Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
However, Giselle is an obvious hard no. Robin. For now, she says it's a TBD.
Yeah.
So next we have Wendy meeting with potential talk show producers.
Mm-hmm.
So we learn that she has now parted ways with the last producer that we met on camera when they went to go look at venue spaces.
Uh-huh.
The woman named Marsha. Marsha sent Wendy a contract saying that she wants 50% ownership of this talk show.
Mm-hmm.
And Wendy fired her, so that's where we're at.
That's pretty crazy. Okay.
Now, Wendy.
Yeah, Wendy, girl.
is that crazy? Because Wendy.
Oh no, I'm saying Wendy's
sense.
Crazy.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
I was
yeah.
Like, Wendy
yeah.
ain't got no sense. I get it. It's your show, blase blah. But I know Marsha mm-hmm. was putting in 50% of ownership work.
Yes.
I already know.
Yeah. Because what she's describing, Wendy, is the view. Mm-hmm. It's already on. So this, like, we need to fill a hole in the market. That's not. It's filled. It is
mm-hmm.
filled up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's been on air for, you know, a couple decades.
Like 28 years. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. God. So she's sitting with these two new, you know, young producers saying she wants the show to feel very homey. I want to feel like I'm at my cousin's house. You know, I want to talk about the Grammys. I want to talk about North Korea. Like, just all over the place. And yeah, kind of, as you said, describing The View. The View talks about pop culture. They also talk about politics. They always have a liberal side of the bench and they have the conservative side of the bench. Like, they do hit those topics. So...
I don't know, Miss Wendy. But yeah, Wendy knows everything. Oh man,
this for me, Wendy again is giving herself the ill setup.
The ill setup, yeah.
Another outlandish business idea. I can't.
Yeah, yeah, and it's not doing bad. Like on her show? YouTube channel and stuff, it's not doing that. It does. Yes, it did. It goes in like it's probably 20,000 views, 10 to 20,000 views per episode. So it's not bad. But it just exists already, and her trying to tell us that it doesn't is really something. Yeah. And also, which I've talked about before, and I'm gonna say it again: her timing of being Wendy on a talk show when Wendy Williams is fresh, well, now missing, but just fresh, just gone. Like, that's just weird. Wendy would have talked about North Korea too. Wendy Williams. She would have talked about North Korea.
Yeah, I don't know. She just always has these outlandish ideas. And it doesn't make sense to me. This, how she came on the show, so smart, so this, all the degrees, Dr. Wendy. And then when she sits with these, she's always sitting across from somebody she's going into business with or whatever. And she just looks so simple-minded and just kind of talking about these ideas that sound outlandish. And this is my issue with Wendy. These, like, these two sides of her, this, like, dichotomy that she's trying to exist in, and it just, like, annoys me. I just wish she leaned in on the first one and not not tried all the rest of this. So anyway, she wants to get the first episode out by the end of the month or by next month. She ends up hiring these two new producers that she's sitting with. Question I have for you, just a general Housewives question that I was thinking about with Wendy. How many business ventures is too many for a housewife?
Oh my God.
Because this is Wendy's fourth, I want to say.
Okay.
She had, the candle. Club, the candle.
The club.
The bar, Nigerian lounge, or whatever the hell she was trying to do.
Holy with Peter. Shit. Yeah, she did. The Nigerian library lounge, children's hour, happy hour. Okay, yeah, we have that. We have the candle. We had the book with her mom.
The book. And now this show.
This show.
Is there another one?
I feel like I'm missing one, but we'll give her the four. I mean, I think this is way too many considering that Happy Eddie is a brand we really all should be leaning into and making nationwide. And if she just leaned into that, I would love it.
Into her husband. Yeah. Into her Eddie's business, but could be making it her own. And she could host her, little book club lounge chats that she wanted to do at the club. She could do at Happy Eddie's.
Yes, she could.
Sell her candles and all that. And just make like a family business. Do all in
one.
Girl, I just feel like every time we keep seeing how the sausage is made with all of her businesses, and I'd rather not. Like, they just don't.
Definitely. And because it's I guess the impetus behind them is so lofty that we just don't care about them after they're done. And then, like you said, make it a family business. This is something that her kids could take over. Her kids can't take over nan one of them businesses that we just named. It could have been the Nigerian Club, Babysitters Club, Library, Happy Hour, but that didn't even come to fruition. And Peter is a liar and a cheater and a scammer. And a cheat,
Exactly. Oh, I have a would you rather, though, while we're still on this topic.
Again? Oh, no. Okay.
Would you, because I'm just thinking of all these business ventures of all these ladies, all the housewives, but particularly this group of ladies and all these different businesses they be trying. Would you rather go into business with Wendy with this daytime talk show or go into business with Robin and them silk lined hats?
No, no. I thought you were going to at least give me Karen with LaDom.
No, That's the obvious answer. She's selling that bitch. That shit in Bloomies. Hell yeah.
I know. Okay. Robin with the silk lined hats or Wendy? I actually would rather go for Robin because Robin's isn't centering just Robin. And you could make that into something. We can make silk line hoodies. We can make silk line puffer coats. We can like make this into something. We can outsource it to different hair care lines. We can have Myel Organics do like a silk lined baseball cap for the Washington Wizards. We could like do this up. We could figure this out. And I know them two children are working there. Carter and the other one.
The other one.
Love them. I love our kids. They're so funny. Yeah, so working with them, that sounds actually like it would be fine. And then Juan would never be there. So that's fine. But just Wendy, all about Wendy. It's all about Wendy. Let's have Wendy do... No.
Yeah, I'm not doing that either. No. Yeah.
What about you? Yeah, you would do Robin.
I would go with the hats, definitely. You could license them out. He works in basketball. He must got connections. Now we're selling silk line hats for late for women, you know.
For the WNBA.
For the WNBA at any stadium where they just have regular baseball hats. Now we have silk line hats. You know what I mean? So the licensing that she could do with the connections and just other merch. Like,
yeah.
It can start with hats, but it can turn into all kinds of other stuff. Any little catchphrase that, well, she don't really be having none, but.
She doesn't have one and she stole it from Lizzo. So there's that.
Well, we could figure something out with this merch line, with this, you know, this merchandise. Wendy and this talk show. I mean, I give it like one season on YouTube and then.
Yeah, it like so it's on work. YouTube.
Too much work.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just too much Wendy. Yeah.
Like, too much Wendy, too much work. Yeah, I'm good. Next, we have NECA and her sister. They go furniture shopping. She's still got this big ass house. She got to furnish.
Yes.
Maybe her sister. I know. We haven't even been back to the house since we went there the first time. No.
I haven't seen her husband since
Ike
that tennis lunch or whatever the fuck.
So we meet her sister, who apparently they used to be arch nemesis when they were younger. Now they're really close. Her sister is married with three kids. She was married at 23, had twins at 24, had a third baby while she was in residency. God damn. Imagine that's a 20s bitch. Like that is
I know that is,
you're raising twins in your 20s.
I'm ready to retire, not ready to go out and work and be a doctor and take care of other people. Are you at crazy
at that oh my god, kudos to her. I couldn't do it. Birth big kudos twins to her. And then go back into my residency program. Oh my god.
No, oh my god. And she ate Wendy up in this outfit.
I know. I'm not, or not Wendy. NECA? She ate NECA.
Yeah. Oh, NECA. Sorry. NECA. Yeah.
So yeah, they sit, they chat, they talk about NECA, you know, being a workaholic and just kind of their immigrant child upbringing. Their dad, you know, came to the country with nothing. And he came, I guess, working as a taxi driver and then eventually became a cardiologist. And just talked about her upbringing and how much she admires her dad. And yeah, I like this, you know, moment with NECA just talking about her upbringing. I could relate. I'm a child of immigrants. Same, very similar story. Came here with nothing, built themselves up, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, these are moments where she's like relatable.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that she keeps leaning into the Wendy, you know, storyline. I don't know. I feel like her sister was kind of giving her a leg up to kind of like segue. Now let's talk about family and blah, 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 blah. And I don't know. It's still such a shame to me that her and Wendy weren't able to like tag team on this, being first generation American, you know? Every time she comes on screen, I'm reminded of how this didn't work out.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. And I do feel like she could have, she could have done this, but she only does this when she's with her family. She doesn't open up with the other ladies at all. None of them know their dad's a cardiologist.
I don't think so. You know? Yeah. It's not that we've seen.
She just, she just came out the gate like a bull, like crazy. So that is not, it's the missing ingredient of being a housewife that actually Monica from Salt Lake City actually did very well. She was like, my mom fucking hates me. And let me tell you why. Like, she was very open about it. But NECA's only fighting, and so it's boring.
Yeah, it's boring. Mm-hmm. So that was NECA. Next, we had Karen and Raven went out to breakfast with Giselle and Grace. Reminded us that Raven and Grace know each other from Jack and Jill. That's how Karen and Giselle met. Karen was president, of course, of the Jack and Jill, the Potomac chapter.
She was.
What is a Jack and Jill president? Who is that?
Karen Huger.
Karen, okay.
Karen Huger, okay. Yeah. A lady who fancies herself as the lady, a lady who usually does not occupy herself with any other work and dedicates herself to this work and dubs it as charitable, which I always find fascinating when talking about Jack and Jill. Because it wasn't designed for that. It was not originally designed for volunteer work. It is a big part of the mission now, but that's not the original purpose. Okay. But that's how she fancies herself. It's philanthropic. Teaching the black youth about philanthropy.
That was cute, though. Them, like, you know, reminiscing about the Jack and Jill cookie bake-off and Giselle should have won and Karen, you know, this whole drama. Cute. So anyways, Grace, she's going to college in Florida. You know, she's nerve-wracked. She's, you know, crying occasionally and just thinking about missing her friends and stuff, but she's excited, just like a ball of emotions. And Giselle says she's also the glue for the family, so everybody's life is about to change because she's going away. What was your going away to college? Do you remember, like, saying goodbye to your mom and dad and
Mine was a full-blown Lifetime movie.
Oh, God.
Sobbing. Yeah, you're sobbing dead. Out of control. All of it. Oh, dad, mom, brother. All three of them.
Your brother, too.
Sobbing. Aww. Oh, sobbing. Yeah, he was like, you're leaving alone with these two?
Young.
Oh, my God.
He was left. That's true. Oh, God.
Sobbing. I remember hiding on campus, like, behind a wall or a column or something, and just crying, like, so bad. And then I went to orientation, the first orientation, and I sat next to my future roommate and best friend, Hannah, and she had the longest hair. And she pointed out somebody in the crowd, and she was like, "Justine, I heard about him. He's, like, so weird. I heard about him from Boston." And I was like,
"Heard about okay. him?"
Yeah, because she was from Cape Cod.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Justine, there's something I gotta get off my chest, girl.
Tell me.
I've been low-key struggling with my relationship with my phone and social media. Just the over-accessibility these devices create, this addiction to Instagram, the distraction from everyday life and the people closest to me, it's been really stressing me out. I'm not even gonna lie.
I mean, that makes sense. Content overload is very real, and staring at everybody's highlight reels can be overwhelming and can absolutely steal your joy and peace. Yeah. We carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. You all know we're huge advocates of therapy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's been tremendously beneficial throughout different stages of my life and areas where I've needed help, from eating disorders to new relationships to my ever-changing relationship with my family. Therapy has really helped me to set boundaries and prioritize my self-care.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/2BG1R today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/2BG1R.
Oh, so she knows him from her. Okay.
Yeah, so she knows him from like the summer. She's such an interesting person because she grew up on a vacation rental thing. And yeah. She was just like bringing back the small town of it all. And she was like, do you want to take shots after this? And I was like, this is where I need to be.
This is my new home.
This is it.
Oh, dear,
drive right up. Yep. What about you?
So cute. So when my sister went to college, she had a boo-hoo-hoo crying fest like yours was. Yeah. I was crying. The whole dramatic, we're driving off and seeing her in the window, like, drama. So when it came time to mine, and I'm a crier, and I was already terrified to go to college, like so much anxiety. I was like, we're not doing this. So my parents moved me in, and I had a hall meeting. I had a hall meeting at like 5 p.m. or something. They're meeting everybody in the hall. And I was like, all right, mom and dad, pack up. Oh, hall meeting. All right. Gotta go. But, like, I try to push them out because I was like, mom, I'm not doing this whole this dramatic. We all held hands and prayed and did a whole thing for my sister.
Oh, yeah.
I did not want that because I knew once the tears started, I had a hall meeting to go to. So I was like, I'm not doing this. So we kind of did a very quick goodbye. They left. I went to the hall meeting, then came back to my room, closed the door, and then was like, sobbing.
Oh, no, by yourself.
Crying to myself, by myself. In my little room. And I had a, I lived in a suite, so I had my own room, so I could close the door and kind of like do my thing. But yeah, it was privately emotional and trying to be strong in front of my parents. And then literally the next day I was like crying, calling my mom, like, I want to leave. I want to get out of here.
Oh, Oh, God. Oh, I hated those phone calls.
I know. So sad. But anyways, Grace, she'll be fine. She seems resilient.
And yeah, definitely.
She'll be just fine. And so, yeah, Raven gives her some nice advice about, you know, being courageous and blah, blah, blah. And it was cute. Nice little bonding moment. Mentor mentee little moment.
Yeah. And they were in the same Jack and Jill chapter at some point. You have a bond for a little while after Jack and Jill's over. Because it's kind of like a little mini high school kind of.
Yeah.
It's like you're pretty close to them.
So Robin, Juan, and the boys go out. They go to get stretched. Like a stretching place?
They go to physical therapy together and act like this is going to, like, go-karting or, like, anything else. They're going to a doctor's appointment for Corey.
And, Juan is on camera, miraculously, so that's happening. And while they're there, Robin gets a text from Candace. Candace is inviting her to the Mother's Day brunch. Robin is confused because she's like, I'm fine to leave things where they were in Austin. Like, I don't need to reconcile. Like, I'm good.
That's the problem, Robin. We know that you're fine with everything around you and you don't care about anything. We know, Robin.
So she's talking a big talk. She wants, like, nothing to do with Candace. Doesn't want to resolve anything. She's fine. And then Robin and Juan, they start to get stretched. She's talking to him about spending more time together. You know, you don't have a job yet, so you should spend more intentional time. And he literally falls asleep on the table.
Literally, at that request. And if he didn't, the editors really fucking hate her because they could have just aired his response.
Yeah, they made it look like he doesn't care and fell asleep, which makes me believe he actually did fall asleep. Because, like, why would they? God, he can't stand her ass. Tough to watch.
Okay. It is. But really quick, I know we've harked on Juan. We have so many videos about Juan on our Instagram. I'm tired of talking about Juan myself. But I did have a thought yesterday after she said that she's fine with her and Candace not speaking and not being friends. I think this is why Juan doesn't respect her, because Juan at some point actually achieved the maximum level of excellence as a basketball player. He made it to the NBA, right? He's one of the 12. And Robin has just been sitting there like by his side, and now she's sitting there by his side and like maybe making these silk lined hats and maybe podcasting every week, but like really hasn't made it to the pinnacle of housewifery, isn't liked. Like, she hasn't made it to the pinnacle of her sport. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So maybe that's why he doesn't respect her. I'm grasping at straws, but it just, it occurred to me yesterday. I was like, shit, maybe that's why too.
Maybe, I guess. Because she's, I mean, I think the lack of respect goes so deep from like how
she yeah.
is. So I think yeah. it starts there. But I see what you're saying. She's not like the Giselle or the Karen of Potomac.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of like she's honestly the friend of Giselle.
Friend of, honest. Yeah. yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the only time she really makes a splash is when it has to do with him, with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see that for sure, but I also think he just sucks and has never respected her since they were like 15 when he started cheating on her. So
absolutely, yep. yeah. Mm.
Anyways, Ashley and her mom are getting ready for the brunch. Mother's Day is always a big thing for them. Ashley is raised by her mom, single mom. Ashley now is also a single mom herself, so
pumped
over that. I know,
crazy. Yeah.
Anyways, time for the Mother's Day brunch. The venue is beautiful. I love this.
The venue is gorgeous. Wait, real quick, love Ashley's pixie cut. I don't know if we addressed it last episode.
Yes, that little short pixie wig. It's cute. Yes.
Yeah, it's so cute.
In the interviews, it is cute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved it. And she's not like that now. She has her long hair now, which I understand. Mm-hmm. You know, hair is like a thing. But Ashley, girl, if you ever wanted to go for that pixie.
Yeah, it looks great. It's a good one. I like it too.
Anyway, the venue. Sorry.
The venue, beautiful. It's giving French estate. It is. I love this. I want to go to a luncheon like this. It just looks so nice. Yeah. A nice outdoor ladies who brunch kind of. I could see this being like a bridal shower theme. A French brunch of sorts at a like big estate like this. So pretty.
Yeah.
Everybody looked. Everybody dressed. Looks so pretty. It was nice.
Yeah. I was going to say Lisa Vanderpump's horse's birthday.
Oh my God.
But you said bridal shower. Yeah.
yeah. It is giving Villa Rosa.
Isn't it? Villa yes. Rosa. Yeah. It is. Yeah. Right. God.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's a woman's home, like her residential home.
And it has a plaque that says Villa Rosa on it. I aspire. Oh my God.
And swans and mini horses all over the place.
Yeah. And swans that she takes to the vet.
I know.
Oh God.
Nuts. Jesus. But anyways, Karen showed up first, looked gorgeous. I loved Karen's outfit.
Holy shit, this. She looks great. She oh my great. God.
She looked like the host, honestly. I was like, yes! Damn, outdress Karen.
Upstage? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she looked like really beautiful.
Lush, high, low, like very poofy organza dress. Gorgeous. Candace was cute. Her little two-piece tweed set was very cute. Mia looked like she was going to a whole other event. I feel like she didn't get the memo.
Mia's outfit, I know, cost $79.99. And I hate that for her.
I know.
Because for another $40, we could have gotten this tailored and we could have really gotten it together. If she got her clothes tailored, they wouldn't look so cheap. But because she doesn't get them tailored, I'm also reaching with this as well. I definitely would have known this was Shein if this was tailored. But it would have looked better. There would have been less puckering and like all that just, little stuff is annoying.
The color too was dark. Everybody's wearing like pastels and pinks and yellows. And it's like a brunch. It looks like she's going to either a nightclub or like somebody's wedding. Like a wedding guest. You know, like a evening wedding guest fit is what it was, you know. Very bizarre. But yeah, she comes, she's not with her mom. She, you know, reminds us they have a very strained relationship. Apparently her sister and her mom have a really good relationship. But Mia and her mom are, you know, she doesn't even like say anything bad. She's just like, I'm fine. Like, we're fine.
Yeah. And this is one of the, I think this is the first time all season we've heard about Mia's sister. Mm-hmm. And then the only time we heard about Mia's sister otherwise was when she was fighting with Jacqueline. So I don't know her with the sister as well. Maybe there's something there. But they played the clip of Mia's mom saying she reminds me of her father.
Mia. And that stuff
doesn't leave a lot of moms. And it's like really hard for a lot of moms. So I was friends with a girl in high school that looked like her dad. And it was really hard on her and her mom's relationship. Yeah.
And so the mom takes it out on her. And then she's...
Yeah. The mom's like always reminded of this man who she can't fucking stand. It's her kid that she's looking at, you know?
That's so sad. Yeah. So yeah, Mia's dealing with that. So her mom's not there. Ashley looked really cute. She came with Sheila.
You know, they looked great. They looked like they hired people. They looked great. I really liked Ashley's makeup. She looked really good.
Yeah. I did too. I loved her outfit. The little jewelry, little neck choker was cute. Charisse was there, her daughter as well.
I mean, copy and paste.
I mean,
good Lord.
Twin daughter. I was like, that is, you can't tell her that's not her daughter. Like, she came out of her. That is crazy. They have the same face. And so everybody's there for the most part except for Giselle and Robin, obviously, and then Wendy isn't there because apparently the paperback version of her book has just dropped and they're doing a little book launch or something.
She has her own luncheon at Nando's so she can't make it.
Which Candace and everybody's like, okay, you know that.
Oh my God.
That's why you're not coming.
I know. Candace is like, why would you leave me here? God damn it.
So NECA arrives with her sister and she's kind of like standing in the wings as Candace is on the phone with Wendy. And NECA just, I don't know, just she just gives awkward, nervous, try hard energy.
All of the above.
All of it.
All of it, because she studied these ladies and it's so obvious and she has no idea where to turn because Giselle and Robin were her two safeties.
Yeah,
and Ashley was supposed to be the one who brought you into this goddamn group. So I don't know why you didn't arrive with Ashley.
Why? Exactly.
Girl.
She just seems nervous. Just that as she was sitting waiting or standing waiting for Candace to get off the phone, just seems so, I don't know. Just, I don't like the energy. And so yeah, NECA was there, that happened. Then Mia, there's nothing to say about NECA.
I know. Yeah. God.
Mia and Charisse catch up, have a little chat. Charisse confirms obviously that her and Karen are still beefing, they're still not friends, so and then she tells Mia that she recently saw Jacqueline at an event. And Jacqueline cried when they were talking about Mia. She also shares that apparently NECA was at this event. NECA met Jacqueline for the first time. Don't know this girl from Canapane. And Jacqueline was not speaking so favorably about Mia to
NECA. You know what? I was reminded of how, you remember the Roman Empire trend? And remember the guy, there was a couple, I guess, who found the one for women. I thought I had the one for women.
Oh, what is this?
So the Roman Empire theory, if you guys don't know, is a theory that went around on TikTok where you ask guys, men, straight ones specifically, how often they think about the Roman Empire. And the answers were wild. Every day, once a week, like, what the fuck are y'all thinking about this Roman Empire for all this time? So I thought I had the women's Roman Empire. I thought it was cutting your hair into a bob.
Yes, I remember you brought that up. And I said, at the time, too, I hadn't cut my hair. And I was like, absolutely. I think about it at least once a day.
At least, right.
Bobs like crazy at that time in my life.
Yes.
Love it. Yes.
So I thought I had it, but another couple got it.
Oh.
A guy went up to his girlfriend and said, how often do you think about your ex-best friend?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I think
every
we talked about this one too.
Every day.
At least once a week. Yeah.
Like, please.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Let us know in the comments. I'm so curious.
Yeah.
Where do you stand on this, ladies who are listening? Mm-hmm. How often do you think of your ex-bestie and also cutting your hair into a bob? Those two are...
Right. Comparison. Yeah.
So true.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. How do we get to that? What were we talking about?
Oh, it's just Jacqueline talking shit about Mia.
About Mia.
It reminded me of it. Like, when you have an ex-best friend like that of 20 years, you're like, you can't stop. You're just obsessed and you just can't let it go. It's awful.
I know. Yeah. And Nika's new, too. So she's like, oh, let me tell you about... going in.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, NECA confirmed she was going on and on and on and on. It was 2 hours we're at this event. She was talking endlessly about Mia, talking about claims she was sleeping with somebody, like not saying very nice things. So and then apparently Mia and Jacqueline haven't spoken in a year and a half. Like literally since they last filmed. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So anyways, all the ladies sit for brunch. Charisse and Ashley kind of chit-chat. Charisse is pressing Ashley, as we all are, curious when this divorce is going to be finalized. And her same thing, you know, it's too final. I'm not ready yet. And we all know she needs the money. Just leave the girl alone. Just let her be at this point.
Just let her live. And then Charisse got a confessional. I was very confused by that, but it's fine.
Charisse doing interviews. What the heck?
Interviews in a shake and go wig. Girl, please. Talking about Ashley and her finances in this wig that you shook off and adjusted on. Girl, please.
Hey. And then separately, we learned that Robin denied Candace's invite, agreed to meet with her separately, but decided not to come to the event, which I agree. Like,
I get Candace
wanted to extend the invite, give the olive branch, blah, 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 but like, Robin ain't coming to this and they can't do anything in public. Y'all have tried to talk in public with other people. You can't. Now Karen, she's got this house in Surrey County that she's trying to... flip or turn into bed and breakfast, whatever the hell.
So she's really trying to like uplift Surrey County population 1,800. Like,
who's going to Surrey County to travel on vacation?
On vacation, I don't know. She has to start sponsoring people. Karen, girl, sponsor us for our artist residency,
please.
In Surrey County, we will take all the photos. We will go on your family farm. I will hold a chicken. I will pet a cow. I will ride a horse. Natasha will ride a horse. We will figure this out, girl.
We'll figure this out.
But this is a call out. Because you need the help. Natasha has run Airbnb for years. She could help you out, girl.
I can help you set this up, girl. I can. But now she talked about she not having the ladies come out for insurance purposes. What that mean? What is?
I don't know, because doesn't Bravo have the insurance? What is she talking about?
I don't know. They all were looking at each other like, huh? What?
Yeah. I don't know.
So she claims she's just going to pick some names out of a hat and that's who gets to come to see.
That's the thing. Yeah, Karen just says these lies and everyone's like, huh, what? And then you're just whipped away. Next thing you know, you're on your way to Surrey County and not Giselle or whatever.
Or whatever, exactly. And then Candace, you know, tops off the brunch. She's got to sing a little tune.
Okay.
Get everybody inside. She's got to... sing some song called Win. Reminds her of her mother. Candace can sing. She definitely has a voice. I will give her that. And she's really leaning into her music career and taking every opportunity at every event to sing a
every
little
last
tune.
One.
I'm not mad at the hustle.
And I'm not mad either, because every time she opens her mouth, I'm baffled that she can sing because
can
of the
sing.
Legacy of housewives who are awful.
I know. And delusional with their talents. So
and delusional. I really expect on display each and every day when she starts with that microphone, but she really is a good singer.
Now Robin and Candace finally meet up for brunch or lunch, whatever. And going into it, Candace, she feels like it's not that serious. She's like, all I did was share my opinion online. Everybody was doing that. What's the big deal? I don't get it. Like, she really feels like she doesn't understand why Robin's icing her out the way she is, you know?
Right, right.
So Robin arrives, is awkward from the jump. Like,
first of all, Robin, why are we wearing sneakers? We are on The Real Housewives. Why are we wearing sneakers?
She really does.
And sweats. What are we doing, Robin? And then, as soon as they walk in, it's like, hi. It's even the restaurant was like, not lunch. I don't know. Even
it
that.
Was like, it was like tea and
coffee
like
and cakes.
Sausages. Yeah. Or not sausages, sandwiches.
Sausages. It might as well have been tea and sausages. It might as well.
Tea and little weird. Crumpets. Like very low stakes. Very one of us is going to get up and leave after 15 minutes. Yep. Like we're not investing
in
this.
Yes, pay up front. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Exactly. Pay up front. Don't wait for no check. And then we got to figure out who's paying. No.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God. So Robin arrives. It's awkward off rip. Candace says to her, look, I'm here to listen. Like, I want to know what you think of everything. And Robin says, I think it's self-explanatory. Like, I don't even know what I'm trying to, like, what I need to explain. She's like, a friend took the social media, took the print media, took the TV media, trashed me, dragged me, you know, talked all about me for a personal decision that I made that had nothing to do with them. That's where Robin's wrong, because it does have something to do with Candace. Candace doesn't bring that up, though, which is where...
That's
where she really could be like, but it does involve me. I'm your coworker. I'm your friend. I feel like you did us dirty as a cast by not being fully transparent. She doesn't bring it there, though. So, so, you know, Robin talks about, you dragged me all over the place. This had nothing to do with you. They replay the moment of Candace on Watch What Happens Live, dragging Robin.
Oh,
they show the tweets. They show all the quotes from all the blogs. Like, Candace was out here.
Yeah.
running her mouth.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Lord.
She was big mad.
Big mad. I think she was big mad, and she kept going because from what we heard from her, she was reaching out to Robin. Robin wasn't answering her. So now I'm your friend trying to reach out. Now you're icing me. So now I'm getting even more mad. As both your coworker and a friend. So now she's just unhinged on fucking Shade Room now, like doing interviews.
Oh, God. Yep.
Oh, God. So, yeah, Robin's just like, I just don't understand how I can be friends with someone who was running their mouth like this about me, which I agree. I couldn't do it either, Robin. So I hear you. And her whole thing, which Robin still, she will die on this cross. Juan's whole cheating thing happened before filming. It was no longer an issue. Why would I bring it up on camera? Like, that doesn't make sense to me. Candace says, we're on a show about our lives. That's why.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, my God. And then for you to turn around and again, I'll say it again, sell it on Patreon. You do not care about embarrassing your husband. You just want the right price. And Real Housewives is not the right price or equity for what you needed. Oh, I'm tired of her. I just really can't with this because as soon as that came out, I was like, now you fucking with my money. Now you fucking with Patreon as an entity.
Yes, you're ruining the integrity too of Patreon now.
Patreon.
Get out of here with this.
Get the fuck out of here. Oh my God.
So Candace says her big issue is that she feels like Robin, Giselle, and Ashley were in cahoots. And, you know, we're kind of staging almost this whole cover up of the Juan scandal and that Robin deliberately plotted this and plotted them coming or Giselle coming with her BS accusations against Chris. And Candace's whole thing is when I look back at it, it was very uncharacteristic of you to go against your best friend Giselle and come to my defense. Something about that just doesn't sit with me right, which kind of makes sense. I don't know if that's true. It seems like a lot.
I could see it too. It makes sense to me because they stay going out, like all of them and Charisse, like all the light-skinned girls stay going out. They throw in Charisse to make it seem like it's not weird. God. But they do go out and it seems like they're like plotting the whole time. I don't know. I mean, they just take little pictures and stuff, but I'm like, invite, like, why don't invite Karen? They don't, like, Karen's never there. You know, I don't know. It just seems
they
weird.
They definitely do some plotting, because for them to, Giselle and Robin to last as long as they have with the weakest of storylines. They definitely have to be plotting and planting and, you know, creating up drama about the other women to deflect from them. So it feels like a reach, but I see it. It could make sense, Candace.
Definitely.
So yeah, so they go back and forth, they get into it, and in the end they basically agree not to be friends. Candace leaves. And yeah, just heads out early. And now she's on the outs with Robin, Giselle, and a little bit Ashley too.
So, and Ashley, yeah.
So to your point on, is Candace, is she getting pushed out? Is she going to just leave on her own? I don't know. We'll have to see, but I will be big mad if we lose, Candace before we lose Robin. I'll be real mad.
Right. Oh, so God, it'd be really so unfair. I know. So unfair. She told us all about Chris. We called him Brown Dick Chris for years.
God. Right, and Robin don't give us nothing. So
nothing.
So annoying. But anyways, that was the episode, my friends. We got a little preview for next week. So we see Karen and Ray sitting out to lunch. I don't know what they're talking about. We learned that Giselle, Ashley, Candace, and Wendy, she pulled their names out the hat. So they're the ladies who are coming to Surrey County. Which that seems like, obviously,
that is so shady. Karen,
you pick them out the hat, Karen. So Robin, who you can't stand, and NECA, who you don't know, just aren't there, but everybody else is the caskets.
Like,
oh,
girl.
And then we see Wendy and NECA are still getting into it, which I'm so bored and so over. And that's what's to come next week.
Yep.
Now, Justine, what did we learn this episode?
Yeah, moms are complicated and serious and sometimes fun.
Yes.
What about yours?
Can you fix a friendship without mutual apologies?
Yes, I wrote a note about this. Okay, yes. Oh, tell me what you think.
I think no. I think neither Robin nor Candace came ready to humble themselves, to take accountability, to take ownership, nothing. And I feel like once I got a whiff that Candace wasn't going to be apologizing for any of the public, you know, blasting, I just knew this wasn't going to go anywhere. Because I think that's probably where it could have started, and Robin maybe would have owned something. But the fact that both of them came up with that big energy of like, you owe me, and nobody was going to come with an apology, this friendship's not going to get fixed. It's just not going to happen. I feel like one of the cornerstones of adulthood is being able to admit when you're wrong, being able to learn how to apologize. It's something we kind of all learn to do, literally, when you're like, probably like a teenager or like in your 20s, like how to really be the bigger person and admit when you fucked up. And I feel like with adult friendships, it usually takes one person kicking things off, apologizing, just being the bigger person, tail beneath your legs, whatever. One person kicks it off, and then usually the other person will follow suit with, you know, you right, girl, I apologize. And boom, resolved. We can start from scratch. But I do think it takes mutual apologies. If no one's apologizing, or if only one person apologizes, the friendship's not going to get fixed, or there's always going to be some kind of like bad air. I think it really does take mutual apologies to wipe a clean slate. And with Robin and Candace, like, we weren't even getting one. So that's not going to happen.
It has to be a really specific situation for only one apology.
Very specific. I agree. Usually it's two people having to own up something, you know, two to tango yep. In an issue between a friendship, and both people got to mm-hmm. own their parts. So yeah, I don't know. I don't think. Yeah, without a mutual apology, you can fix a friendship. Really, I just don't see mm-hmm. how it can happen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. I think even more, just to layer on, I guess, even more relevancy to that topic, and having to do more with Jacqueline and Mia, I think there has to be an acknowledgement of the feelings hurt and why they were hurt.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? Like, there's a way to say, I'm sorry you felt that way, and you really do mean it because you've made somebody feel a certain way. That could be the end all be all of your apology. For some people and for some friendships, that's it. And for some situations, that's it. It could be Mia saying, I'm sorry I made you feel like you were less than because of something that happened when we were in high school.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I think there has to be, it's an easier way to get around the apology is to acknowledge the feelings that were hurt first as well.
Yeah. At least acknowledgement. That's mm-hmm. everything.
Yeah.
You just want to feel yeah. heard. You want to feel seen. You want your yep. feelings to be validated. You don't want to feel like you're crazy and you're making up these feelings. Like, and that usually mm-hmm. will get you very far. If somebody can just acknowledge, yeah. you're good to go. You use that friendship mm-hmm. can get fixed like this. But mm-hmm. yeah, not these ladies. Neither one of them was coming with any nope. of that energy.
Nope.
Oh god, let us know what you guys think. Can you fix a friendship without mm-hmm. mutual apologies? Are you still friends with somebody and you still think they owe you an apology but somehow you've skated by and you're still friends? I would love to know a friendship where you feel like the person still owes you acknowledgement or an apology but you somehow are still able to be friends with them. I would love to know that person. Please
email write in the email. Do not put that in the comments. Write it in yeah. the email. Yeah. The
email, please. But yeah, that's that. Rate, review, subscribe.
Yeah.
Join us on Patreon, Two Black Girls, One Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Patreon.com/Two Black Girls, One Rose for our pre-show, mm-hmm. ad-free episodes, video, all that good stuff. And we'll be back next week, guys.
Sure will. Bye.
Bye.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered